Okay, there we go. Ready to go? Let's have church. Let's have some preaching now. Are you ready for some preaching? Some of you are ready. Hey, if we haven't met before, and if you're a guest here, my name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors, and we're just so thrilled that you're here as we continue our series that we've just kicked off through the summer, Jesus on Snapchat. That's why we had Snapchat up right there. Snapchat is a social media where people give little snapshots, little Snapchats of their life, what they happen to be eating. I don't know why people on social media are crazy about posting what they eat. Pictures of their plates. And cats should be banned from social media. We should just put a ban on the cats from social media. But sometimes people Snapchat about their cats and their little pictures. And so we were preparing this summer to talk about Jesus because we felt the Holy Spirit bringing our attention towards Jesus. And someone said, well, that's like Snapchats of Jesus, little pictures from the story of Jesus, the Word of God. Little pictures of Jesus that if Jesus happened to have an iPhone or an Android phone in his day, he could have. That would have been cool. All he would have had to say is, let there be an iPhone. And everyone would have wanted one right then, but Jesus could have sent out. And he actually did. He had some guys with him that were Snapchatting his life. And so we're looking into various pictures, various stories of his life. Last week, we looked at the story of what people call his first public miracle, the turning of the water into wine. It was a Snapchat of Jesus at a party. And today, we are looking at a Snapchat of Jesus at a pool. Yes, Jesus went to the pool. It doesn't say he did any swimming while he was there, but he did do some healing. He went in the fifth chapter of John to a pool called Bethesda. It was a famous pool, not really for its swimming, but for its healing. Bethesda in the Hebrew language means house of mercy or house of grace. And people would come to the pool of Bethesda, and it was known as a healing center. Even in our nation, it's interesting that Bethesda in Maryland is known as a place of healing. That's because President Roosevelt was traveling around looking for a place where he could establish the National Institutes of Health, and he was traveling with a guy named Harry Hopkins, and they were traveling through Bethesda, Maryland, and Harry Hopkins said, you know, there's a story in the Bible that Bethesda is connected to healing, and they said, okay, this is where we're going to put it, right here. This is where the Institute, National Institute of Health is going, right here in Bethesda, because it's tied to healing. And this is a story about a miracle. It's a story about healing. It's about a story about a man waiting for his miracle for 38 years. How many would say that's a long time? Have you been waiting for something from God for a long time? Anyone, don't put your hand up, but 38 years is a long time to wait. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he comes to Jerusalem. The story opens up in chapter 5 and verse 1. And as I open up the scriptures, please just be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will anoint. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit because I can't bring people to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit can. I can talk about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit draws people's hearts towards Jesus. And that's what we want to have. As we open this word, we want our hearts to be changed, our hearts to be drawn to Jesus, because these little Snapchats of Jesus, these little stories of Jesus, show us that Jesus changes things. When Jesus shows up, he changes things, not just in the ancient lives. When Jesus shows up today in this room, he changes things. And in the fifth chapter of John, it opens up saying, that after this, there was a feast or a festival that Jesus attended in Jerusalem. There were three main feasts or three main festivals that were attended. There was the festival of Passover. 50 days later, there was the festival of Pentecost. And in the fall of the year, there was the festival of Tabernacles. This is probably, though you can't say definitively, but for people that study the Bible, this is probably the festival of Tabernacles, because in the scriptures, it's the one most frequently referred to as just the festival. Passover is called Passover. Pentecost is called Pentecost. It's the one that's most frequently referred to as the festival. So this story probably took place in the fall of the year, and Jesus is in Jerusalem. And there he meets a man who has been waiting by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And when Jesus meets him, a miracle takes place. That's a little spoiler alert to the story. When Jesus meets us, by the end of the story, this guy is going to be healed. And if you need some change from God today, this story is for you, because Jesus doesn't just change water into wine, he changes human hearts. If you need a miracle, if you need a healing, if you need a this is a story for you. And as we open it up, we're going to look at how to connect with this power of Jesus that changes our lives. And the first thing I just want to point out is you don't need to keep waiting. This guy waited for 38 years, but you are in a place today that you don't need to keep waiting. In fact, we just say it like this: stop waiting, because Jesus is here. Now, when you read the story, this man, unnamed man, doesn't really know Jesus. It says that he was there, verse 2, that he was there in Jerusalem. He was by the Sheep Gate. That's in the northern part of the city. And the Bethsaida is there. It has 5 porches. So a lot of people would gather under the shade of these porches. And all manner of people that needed a touch from God were there. There were people who were blind. There were people who were lame. There were people who were paralyzed. And here's what they were waiting for. They were waiting for the moving of the water, because they would all look at the water. And if there was a little ripple, have you ever looked at a still pond of water? Just, and then a breeze kind of comes across it, and a little ripple takes place. So if the water moved, they would say, and I'm sure there were a lot of people there, and here's how I picture it happening. Every time there was like a little breeze that came by the water, people didn't know for sure. They thought maybe an angel was doing it, because the story was, if an angel touched the water and you are the first person to get in, you'd be healed. So they were all like looking at the water all day, looking at the water, looking at the water, and a little, it could have been a breeze or it could have been an angel. But the water moved a little bit. And I'm sure every time the water moved a little bit, there was a rush. Everyone into the pool. And I think it would even be difficult to know who got there first, because they're all in there. And then if anyone got healed, they'd say, I was healed, I must have been first. This guy had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for 38 years. Verse 5, now there was a certain man who had an infirmity, and he was there for 38 years of looking at the water. He didn't even know that the person who came up to talk to him that day was the one who made the water. He could have turned the whole pool into wine. That was last week's story. He could have. And maybe you have been waiting. And this man with this infirmity wasn't good enough or fast enough to get into the water. That's why he had been there for 38 years. He wasn't fast enough. He wasn't good enough. And let me tell you, you may be here today and you've seen God do things for other people. It's been amazing. But in the back of your mind, there is this voice that says, you're not good enough. You're not fast enough. you need to get better before any miracle will take place. We want to push that aside because that actually is a lie. All you need to know is you don't need to wait any longer because Jesus is here right now. Right now, he's here. The same Jesus is here. He says, whenever you get together in my name, and we're in his name, whenever you gather in my name, I am with you. So I promise you that Jesus is here. You don't have to wait one more day. But you do need to recognize this, brothers and sisters, friends. You need to recognize that Jesus is here. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to us. That we're not just singing songs about Jesus. We're singing to Jesus because Jesus is here listening to us when we sing and when we worship. That in this moment, when I tell you Jesus is here, he's here. Help me a little bit. Nudge your neighbor and just say, Jesus is here. Tell him right now. Just tell him. Tell him right now. Jesus. Tell him Jesus is here. No, say it with some conviction. Some of you were so wimpy. Some of you, I don't even know if you believe it. How could you help your friend believe it? Because you're like, oh, Jesus is here. I don't know. He told me to say that. No, Jesus is here. If you got that, if you got that, this would be a different kind of gathering. He's here. You don't have to wait. Not 38 years, not 1 year, not 1 day. You don't need to wait. Now, when you recognize, when you finally, I pray to God that the Holy Spirit helps you to know that Jesus is here right now. When you recognize that, then you need to ask this very important question. And everyone should ask themselves this question. What do I want? What do I want today? If Jesus is here, if the divine Son of God is present right now, what do I want? Because there's a strange conversation between this man laying at the pool for 38 years and Jesus. Jesus walks up to him, verse 6, he sees the man laying there, and he knows that he's been there for a long time, and 38 years would have been a long time. The average lifespan in Jesus' day, the average lifespan was between 30 and 35. So there wasn't modern medicine. Most people didn't last long. And so for this guy to be sick for 38 years, he was sicker longer than most people were alive. He'd been laying there for a long time, and Jesus walks up to him, and he asks him this question. And it seems like almost a foolish question. Because the man is there at the house of grace, the house of mercy, a house where people are healed, Bethsaida. He's there for what purpose? To get a sun? He must have had a suntan and a half. But just imagine 38 years of sunbathing. Okay. With no sunscreen back in the day. There was no sunscreen. He was under the porch. Maybe the porch helped him. I don't know. Jesus walks up to him, and here's Jesus' question. No, he doesn't know Jesus. Jesus knows more about this man than this man knows about Jesus. And here's a question. Do you want to be made well? Now, if you were the dude who had been waiting for 38 years for a miracle, to get well, to be healed, what would your answer be? Like, just not fool around. How many of you would have said, yes? You think you would have. Because this man, watch, and this happens to you and me. This is so, so important. This man had been distracted. His attention had drifted from the real purpose that he was there in the first place. Because the man's answer is not yes. The man's answer is a little bit of a complaint, actually. The man says, sir, I don't have any people that will put me in the pool when the water is stirred, and then all of these other people butt in front of me. So let me show you. His attention had drifted from the purpose he was there, which was to get well, his purpose was looking at the pool every day, distracted, and distracted by the people. He had drifted. Now this happens. I think one of the most important questions you can ask in any given day is, what do I want? I think at least once a week you should ask it about your whole life. What do you want? What do you want out of life? What is God calling you? What's your purpose? What's the mission of your life? And is what you're doing today guided by the distractions of the pool and the people, or is it fixed on what you really should be doing? I think you should ask yourself every once in a while, like when you're sitting in front of the television for 4 hours. Is this what I really want? Have you ever watched someone watch television? It looks like someone has reached in and sucked the brain right out of their head. And they turn the thing off after 4 hours, and they haven't advanced the cause of what they really wanted in life one iota. When you are looking at that exotic dessert, do you really want the calories on your hips? Oh, now we're preaching. Now. I'm just telling you, this is something that happens all the time. Because we all say, hey, if he asked me, I would say yes. But many of us every day are distracted. You drift because of distractions. And I just want to call you to ask this question about your life. What does God really call? What do I really want? What's the desire of my heart that God's giving to me? And am I lining my life up with what I really want? Or are you distracted by the pool and by the people? I think every once in a while, we should just like, while we're doing a project, am I really moving the thing forward? This guy's answer should have been yes, but he was distracted. And listen, I'm not pointing figures. This is me too. I get distracted all the time because of my problem with ADD. What did I just say? And I got to keep, that's not what the goal, come back. What do you want? Oh yeah, this is what I want. You want a good marriage? Why fight? I want a good marriage. Okay, so I'm going to stay with what I really am called to. And this man was asked, do you really want? And he was like, oh, well, you know, the people and the pool and people are cutting in front of me. And you know, I just can't get to the front of the line. And I've been sitting here for 38 years. So Jesus gives him some instruction, and he would give this instruction to every single one of us today. And this is probably the most important verse to me, and I'll share it with you, the most important verse of this story, verse 8, and here's what it says. It says that all of us need to have a moment that we wake up, that we stand up, and that we walk. Wake up, give me a good wake up. That was so weak. That was so weak. You need to wake up. I'm just going to say that. Okay, give me a good wake up. Wake up. A little better. The Greek word rise is a word, igaro, and it was a word of resurrection. If you are walking into someone's room in the morning trying to wake them up, say, igaro! Their minds, have you seen someone, they're sleeping, their minds are in la-la land, or the dream world, or the unconscious world, and you're trying to bring them to a shift of thinking, a shift of consciousness. You're saying you need to stop living in that world of sleep, and you need to wake up, and that's what needs to happen. If you're going to get on track, come back from the drift of distractions, you need to wake up. There needs to be a shift in the way you think. That's the biggest thing this man needed. He needed a shift from thinking about himself as a mat layer to a city walker. There had to be a shift. Here, wake up! Rise, it's a shift. Rise up. Then you got to stand up. You got to shift your position. You got to, it's when you stand, things change. Stand up. No, stand up. A little seventh inning stretch. Come on, come on. I know you're not used to that. A little seventh inning stretch. Come on. Come on. I know some of you are. Come on. Okay, all right, okay. We stood up. There you go. Okay, there you go. Okay. God, give somebody a high five and sit down again. Go ahead. It's a little break in the middle of the message there. Now I can go for another hour, hour and a half now after that. Whole couple innings. When you stand up, this man had not stood up for 38 years. But there was a shift in the way he thought, which brought him to a shift in the way he moved. He stood up, he was ready for change, and then he starts walking by faith. The first step you take with God is by faith, and the last step you take will be by faith. But you've got to have a shift in your thinking, a shift in your position, and a shift in your attitude. And he needed a shift in all three of those ways. He woke up, he stood up, and he started walking. And to the people around him, it must have been amazing. Like, if you are sitting by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, you've probably made some friends around you. You're probably well known, at least in your area of the pool. If you are coming to this church for 38 years, sitting in the same seat, we're going to know you. So 38 years he's there, and all of a sudden he stands up. And his buddies are like, he didn't even get in the water. They're looking to see. You would think that everybody was thrilled with this moment of the miraculous, but not everyone was, which brings me to the last thing I want to just bring to your attention from this story. You've got to have a dynamic relationship with God through Jesus Christ, not some kind of religious experience based on human rules. Listen, brothers, sisters, make sure in the quest of your life, in the journey of your life, that you find a relationship with God instead of a religion. A religion is man's attempt to reach God. A relationship is God reaching down to pick you up and bring you to where he is. Because when this man experienced this incredible miracle, it happened to be the Sabbath. Verse 9, and the day was the Sabbath. Now, if you study Jesus' life and ministry, you learn that he particularly enjoyed Snapchatting on the Sabbath. It was his day. He loved on the Sabbath to heal people. Why did he do it especially on the Sabbath? Because it bugged religious people. And he was trying to teach them something. It's not about human rules. It's about a dynamic faith relationship with God through Jesus. It was the Sabbath, and the Jews, therefore, said to the man who had been healed after 38 years, they all knew him. They all knew him. But they see him walking through the pool area, and he's carrying his mat. And they had a rule, a religious rule, that said, thou shalt not carry your mat on the Sabbath. Now, that rule is not in the Bible. You can read the whole thing. You're not going to find a rule in the Bible that says, thou shalt not, you can even go into Leviticus. You can go in there. You won't find it. Thou, it won't find a rule that says, thou shalt not carry a mat on the Sabbath. Now, you would think, they knew him. You would think if they saw this guy walking across the pool area who had been laid out for 38 years, you would have thought they would say, hey, Fred, all right, you're healed. I don't know if Fred was his name. I just gave him that name. It's a good biblical name. Not really. Instead of being happy for Fred, here's how you can tell. They had a rule. Religious people see things so narrow that if it doesn't fit in to their way of
expression and their rules that they made up, they're not in the Bible, they just make them up, then it must not be God. And they said to Fred, Fred, we are writing you up, man. It's illegal. It's illegal for you to walk with your mat on. We are writing you a ticket. A religious ticket of condemnation, violating rule, whatever rule number they had, 743. Walking with your mat on the Sabbath. And by the way, Fred, how did this happen? Well, this guy came up to me and he said, do you want to be made well? And I started to complain about the pool and complain about the people. And he skipped right over my complaints. And he just told me to wake up and to stand up and to start walking. So I did what he told me. Who was that? And Fred says, I don't know. He doesn't even know Jesus. Watch this. Jesus has healed him, and he doesn't even know Jesus. You can get some good stuff from Jesus and not even know him. But we want you to find him. Because that's the purpose. The purpose is not just for you to get good stuff. The purpose is for you to have a relationship with him. So after all the religious police had moved on, they couldn't find Jesus. They looked in the crowd. Can you see him? Can you point him out? We'll have a lineup. We're going to find. No, he said, I can't see him at all. He had disappeared into the crowd. And after the religious people had slipped away, Jesus comes looking for this guy because he wants to do some follow-up. Because it wasn't just about the miracle. It wasn't just about the change in his ability to wake up and stand up and walk. Jesus wanted to talk to him. So Jesus comes, and what does he do? Jesus finds him in the temple. And I promise you right now, Jesus is finding you in this place. He knows you're here. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine design. And in this moment, as we're talking about Jesus, Jesus is finding you in his house. And he says to the man, hey, see, you've been made well. You wanted to talk to me about the pool and about the people. I wanted to make you well. And then Jesus says this, I want you to sin no more. Because sin always brings bad things into your life. That's the essence of what sin does. And Jesus addresses the sin issue that we all battle with, that we all deal with. The Bible says that all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. And the message of Jesus and the message of the day is that this one who stepped into the pool of Bethsaida and brought healing to this man is in this room, and he's here to help us with our sin issue. When he died on the cross, he absorbed all of your sins, all of my sins, and there's a lot of them, all of my guilt, all of my shame. He took them all from me so that I can now appear before God. And when I appear before God, I turn in Jesus' report card, not my report card, and he gets straight A's, and I didn't. And I get credit for what Jesus did. That's what a relationship does. With Jesus Christ. A relationship means he becomes the best friend you ever had, but more than your friend, he becomes your Savior and your Lord. And that's what I would like every single person here to experience. Not a religion. You don't have to join this church. It's a good one. You're welcome to, but it's not about joining the church. It's not about some religious thing. It's about a living relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. I'm going to invite you to open your heart, and I'm going to invite you in a moment to open your life in a fresh way, in a new way, maybe for the first time, to the presence of Jesus who is here. You don't have to wait one more year. You don't have to wait one more month. You don't have to wait one more day. Jesus has showed up today. And he asks you this question. Do you want to be made well? Oh yeah, but there's some people that let me down. There were some Christians that cut in front of me in line. You may have a million excuses, but the question still stands. Do you want to be made well? Because Jesus has the power to make you well, to make you whole, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And he's here to do that. And I'm going to pray a prayer that just receives God's grace. Did you know that you are today in a house of grace? A Bethsaida, a place of mercy, a place where you can have another chance, a fresh start, a new beginning. And we're going to pray a prayer together. And as I pray this prayer, I want you to pray this prayer by faith. And if you are connecting to God in a fresh way or in a new way, if you're saying, I want to follow Jesus, I want you to let me know, hey, I'm praying this prayer with you, Scott, and I'm praying it today by faith. I need to stop drifting and get back on track with God. Or I need to start a relationship with God. I'm going to ask you just to do two quick things. To put your hand up high enough for me to see it and lift your eyes until we make eye contact. Because you matter to God. You matter to me. I promise you I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want to affirm you as a child of God, one that he loves. And you put your hand up high enough, how many would do that today and say, that's me today. I want to do that. I'm going to pray with you today. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. Let me see you. Glad you're here. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray together. Yeah, right. Thank you. I'm glad you come a long way. And God's here with you. And it's not about us. It's not about this. It's about Jesus. Right here. God bless you. Let God do something in you. Not but Jesus. Jesus can make you well. Jesus can bring wholeness to you. Jesus can bring grace to you and forgiveness to you. Right here, I see you, pal. Yeah, thank you. And I affirm you as my brother in the Lord. Right here, God bless you. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray in Jesus' name together. Thank you for just letting me know to include you in this prayer. I don't want to miss anybody. I'm going to look one more time. Right over here. Hey, God bless you. Jesus knows you're here. He knows all about you. Do you want to be made whole is what he says. And you're saying, yes, I do. Here's my hand. Oh, I want to be made whole. I want to be made well. Yeah, I see you way back there. Yeah, I want to be made well. Jesus knows what the issues are. You don't have to tell them to me. You tell them to him. He understands them. And he'll make you whole. He'll make you well. Because his power is here. His presence is here. And I know what he's doing. I promise you right now, he's knocking at your heart's door. That's what the Bible says. And all you have to do is say, come on in, Jesus. When we pray this prayer, we're saying, come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. So we're going to pray together. I'm going to invite everyone to stand with me, if you'd be so kind. Everyone, please, to stand. Our prayer team is going to come, and we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray it out loud because God loves to hear your voice. And the Bible says, believe in your heart in Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth, and a miracle takes place. So here's our prayer. I want you to pray it with every other person in the room. I'd like 100% of the people to pray this prayer. And here we go. We're going to pray. Are you ready? Here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I open out the door of my life. Come into me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I repent of my sins, and I turn away from them. And I receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Heal me, make me well, help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Thank you, God, for never giving up on me, and I'm never giving up on you. Hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Yeah. So look this way just for a moment, and then we're going to pray. If you're making a fresh start with God, we want to help you in every way possible. First, we want to get you this little booklet, Now What?, to kind of get your life moving in the right direction. Secondly, we want to baptize you, and we got baptism coming up. We're going to do beach baptism in August the 20th. So, and I may baptize before then because someone last night said we're going out of town, and I may sneak another baptism in there as well. So keep your eyes tuned for that. Maybe on the 19th, I'm not sure, but I may be baptizing sooner. Anyway, sign up for baptism. We'll let you know. Be part of the family of God. We're not asking you to join this church. You can. It's a great place. But we're asking you to join the family of God and walk with him. Just let him lead you. Let him make you whole. Your life will be better if you let him make you whole. Don't be distracted by the pool, by the people, by people who have let you down. Have you ever been to a Christian event where everybody's shoved in front of you? That's what this guy said. Every time they're shoving in front of me. It's not about those people. It's not about those people. It's about you and me. It's about a relationship, you and me. That's what it's about. Go and sin no more. So I'm going to pray a blessing. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do some miracles this morning. I'm going to pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to minister through our prayer team. And we're going to open the communion tables. If you'd like to receive Holy Communion today, remember this. Remember Jesus died on the cross for you. Remember that he paid for all your sins. He went into the tomb and he rose on the third day. He'll be the best friend you ever had as you take communion. Remember Jesus. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. We love you guys. We want you to come again. We'd like to get to know you a little bit. If you're a guest here, stop by our VIP room because you are our VIP. It's over on your left-hand side. We'd like to give you some gifts. Just bless you. Got any questions? You're welcome. So after I pray this prayer, there's no other benediction. You can come forward for prayer. Not just for forgiveness and grace, but whatever spiritual need is going on in your life, you can come forward. We'll pray with you. You can receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer or to receive communion. Just come and receive. The worship team's going to lead us. You can go with the grace of God. But I want you to go out as blessed people. So as I pray, I'm going to open my hands towards heaven. If you'd like to receive this blessing, I'm going to encourage you to do this as well. It's a position of prayer. Close your eyes, open your hands to your Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord, over your sons and your daughters right now. You see them. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit breathe upon them. Fresh life. Give us all a fresh love for Jesus. The wonder, the majesty, the grace of walking with the divine Son of God in our lives. I pray over the communion, Lord. Bless the bread. Bless the cup of the Lord. Bless our prayer team. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon them. May the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow like a river here at the altar as we open the altar for prayer. May lives be changed. May lives be made whole. May we have a new faith to awaken, to rise up, to stand up, and to walk. In Jesus' name, I bless you. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord just a praise. Love you guys so much. Love you. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. The Lord bless you. And the Lord walk with you every step of the journey. Hallelujah. Worship team, come and lead us.